And if your kids want to stay here, that's totally fine too, if you're okay with them. Just remember, if you drop one off, you got to pick the same one back up. I've got a story for you. So there was this older couple that went to McDonald's, and they get in there, and the man goes up to the front and orders a sandwich and a meal and brings it back, and his wife is there, and they get out the knife and the fork, and they bring the sandwich out in front of him. He brings the sandwich out in front of him, cuts it in half, gives her half. He takes half, and he sits there as she proceeds to eat the sandwich, eat her half of the sandwich. And people in the restaurant, looking at them, like, with their heads down, because, like, wow, they must not have been able to afford a second meal. And they kind of watch and observe with their heads down, and he continues. Finally, one of the customers gets up, goes over to the guy and says, "I would love to buy you a second meal." He's like, "Oh, no, it's okay. We share everything, and this is what we do." He's like, "Okay." He goes back and sits down, and she proceeds to eat her. He hasn't touched his yet. Gets back up again. I really want to buy you another meal. I'd love to. No, I'm serious. Totally okay. We share everything. Okay. But I have one question. Like, she's been eating. You haven't even touched yours. Oh, it's okay. We share everything, and I'm waiting. Okay. What are you waiting for? Oh, my teeth. Gross. Now you can keep playing. Arby told me something once. He said the toothbrush was invented in the valley here. And I'm like, really? He said, yeah. Anywhere else, it would have been a teeth brush. Wow. Am I fired yet? Hopefully he's listening. Quiet. Waiting for my teeth. I opened my glasses and caught part of my tissue. So we have baptisms today. Come on! Yeah. Maybe we should do this. Maybe whenever I say the word baptism, we should, like, yeah. You guys are crazy. Romans 6, 1 through 14. I think we have some stuff going on. Oh, yeah, look at that. Thanks, Kirsten. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?
Yeah.
Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Anybody in here died with Christ? Anybody? Believers in Jesus? Yeah. That means that you have been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we also believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Come on. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Amen. Amen. Acts 2, 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized." Yeah. "In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Anybody need that promise today? "For the promise is to you and to your children." Colossians 2, 11 through 15. "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." He made a public spectacle of them. Whew. Somewhere in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to kind of do a study through Romans, and the promises that are in there really have to do with our identity, of understanding who we are and what our new nature is as believers. There's, for a long time in my life, I thought I was still the old man. I thought the old nature, the sin nature, was what I still had, because I still struggled with sin. Adam and Eve sinned without a sin nature. They had a free will and the ability to believe a lie. Once we get saved, we've been given a new nature, a new identity in Christ. That process of being transformed by the renewing of our lives, by the renewing of our minds, and not being conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, the patterns that we followed, the patterns that we learned, the behaviors that we learned. Once we get saved, we've been given a new identity and a new nature, but we get to go through the process of learning actually how to live in that, how to tap into that access that we have that he's given us. We're not just free, we're not just saved from something. We're not just saved from hell. We're saved to the kingdom, and we actually get to tap into all that God has given us, that he's created us to be. And so I love going through Romans and the process of, like, wow, I really have some stinking thinking that I need to get adjusted. and learn how to live in that. And I guarantee you, I've shared it here before, the enemy is absolutely terrified if we ever learn to walk in our true identity and our nature and our calling. It says here, he made a public spectacle of them. Can you imagine what that looks like? And we're walking around like, oh, I hope I don't sin today. Oh, I hope I don't do this today. Oh, I hope I don't do that today. It's like, what? That means that we haven't actually walked and understood what we have access to, what he's calling us to. But he's so patient. He's so kind. And then there's some really cool promises in here also later on. Mark, I don't have this up on the board, but it's Mark 16, 14 through 18, if you guys want to write it down or follow along. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. It's Mark 16, 14 through 18. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You imagine so the disciples are walking with Jesus all this time, and those that saw him first after he rose again, they're like, hey, he's alive, he's here. Yeah, whatever. Even though he told them what would happen. They're like, yeah, whatever. So he's like, all right, you clowns. Because of your unbelief and hardness of heart, he rebuked them. And he said to them, so he finishes that, rebuked them. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized, come on. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is a sign for those that believe. Wow. As I was reading this, I'm like, man alive. Like, I want to be known that I believe. I want it to be known that I believe. Because we believe, we have access to all of these things. But through disappointments and doubts and frustration and hurts and pain, when stuff didn't happen, when we didn't see that miracle, we didn't see that answer, we gave up. And we determined, well, it just must not be God's will. I don't know why it didn't happen, but I know that we are supposed to lay hands on the sick and we're supposed to raise the dead. Cast out demons. Come alongside people. Pray for them. We're supposed to see miracles happen every single day. And if you don't think that miracles are happening, you all woke up this morning. You know how much of a miracle that is and a blessing that is? Oof. Your hearts beating, your bloodstreams flowing, fingers functioning, eyes, ears. I would say that's pretty supernatural, and we live it every day, but we've kind of become numb to it. So what happens when things that we've seemed impossible now become possible? We get to dream big. We get to go after things. Finish up with this verse, and then I'm going to go, or this passage, and then I'm going to actually just share a little bit more about, real briefly, what baptism is. 2 Corinthians 5:12 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5:12 through 21. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I believe that baptism is a prophetic act. It's a prophetic act releasing God's power to bring about change in a believer's life. In regards to death and resurrection, it symbolizes the believer's death to their old life and their resurrection to their new life in Christ, just as Jesus was raised from the dead. It's a public confession of faith and commitment to Jesus Christ, marking the believer's belonging to God's family. And while it is also a symbolic act, baptism is a powerful prophetic act with tangible spiritual effects. You're actually getting to declare something. The old me is gone, buried, done, dead, dead, dead. And then we get raised again with him. Baptism is also associated with the cleansing and a restoration, helping believers align their lives with their created purpose. And there's a blessing that we get to claim through baptism in God's kingdom and experience God's blessing. So we've got three amazing people that are going to be baptized today. Come on. Yeah. We have Ozzy, EK, Caleb's sister, who's going to get baptized. We have Ethan, who's going to be getting baptized. And we have wonderful friend Les, who's getting baptized today. So with that said, why don't the three of you stand up, come on up here, and you guys can stand right here, and we're going to have each one of them just share a little bit about what's going on, what the Lord's doing, why they want to be baptized, and whatever else they want to share. I will get this out of the way. Oh, yeah, here, we'll leave that there. So cool. I said if it gets crazy up here, it's okay. All right. Just go ahead and share your name.
Okay.
Where you're from.
Can you hear me? Baptized. Isn't it wonderful to see these young folks here committing their life to Jesus? Just wonderful. And I'm a 61-year-old man here to rededicate his life to Jesus. You know, after my mother passed away last year, and she was my number one prayer warrior, and she was a wonderful woman. And, you know, I started moving around in the shadows a bit after she died, and the Lord has convicted me. And he He convicted me, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. I repented for my sins, and he's released me. And I'm just so grateful for that. And he made a number of requests of me, and one of them was to come here and on today and be baptized in front of you all. I was originally baptized when I was an 8-year-old boy, along with my mother and father in Titusville, Florida, at a Southern Baptist church. Over the years, when I would attend church, I've always been a believer. When I would attend church, and I'd hear a call to baptism, the Lord would nudge me, and he'd say, "You know, you need to get baptized again with a full understanding and understand the purpose and nature of what baptism is all about." And I never did. But today I'm here, and the purpose for me today is that when I emerge from that tub of water, I'm going to be accountable, and I'm going to be wholly, completely, and unconditionally at the Lord's disposal. So with that, as I was preparing to be baptized this week, the Lord laid some scriptures on me. And so I'd like to share those with you, if I may. So the first one is Matthew 18, 12 through 14. And they're right here. Pardon me. Better use those. So what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. And the second passage is John 9, 1 through 7. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The third passage is Matthew 20, 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Do you not know what you are asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And the fourth is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not disaster. To give you a future and a hope." So you see, God has a plan for me and all of us. but we have to be 100% committed for him to use us. So today, August 17th, year of our Lord, 2025, I dedicate my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Just right there is fine. All right. Come on, Ethan. And grab the microphone. Come on up. And Ethan had a few things he wanted to share.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ethan Webb.
Come on.
The true meaning to me wanting to be baptized, we're here for Jesus Christ, and it's time I give my life to him and live for him fully.
Come on.
It's time I stop sinning without thinking of the true meaning of it, and to really just live for him fully, because he's our creator and we're here for him and him only, and it's Amen. Time I live for him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, baby. All right. You can say your name, where you're from.
Hi, I'm Ozzy EK. I'm Caleb's sister, as most people know me. I'm from Everett, but right now I'm visiting family down here. And I'm 14 years old, and I came to church today to share with you how I met Jesus. I'm one of those kids who grew up going to church. I went to Sunday school, children's church, church camps, and listened to worship music around my house. As I grow up, I feel to mix my bad choices and excuses that push me further from my relationship with Jesus. I don't have a ride to church. Oh well, guess I can't go. Online church services exist for a reason, people. I constantly hear, you're never too far from Jesus. He'll always accept you with open arms. Honestly, at certain points in my life, especially in middle school, I definitely felt I had hit rock bottom and no way Jesus could forgive me for everything I'd done at this point, especially when I had dishonored him. I mean, who would? I'm not too proud of my middle school self. I use that as an excuse as well. Why even put in the effort to have a relationship with someone I thought wouldn't accept me? Before I touch on my main point, something I need to acknowledge out loud is that I think I grew this perspective in my head that a person was going to save me in life. Probably thought it was going to be some boy, and it turns out this whole time I was looking at the wrong savior. That might have been part of my problem. Truthfully, I had no clue how to start this, so of course I turned to the internet for help. The structure I found was Life Before Christ, Turning Point, and Life After Christ. I wasn't 100% sure what to do with this because I've always had Jesus in my life. As far as I knew, I already knew who Jesus was. But I'm not quite sure I did until this past Sunday. I think that's when my turning point clicked, and now I know who Jesus Christ is. I've made my fair share of poor decisions growing up, and one I've been quite consistent with lately is going back to what hurts me. I believe people can change. I want to see the better in people, especially the ones I care about. I prayed for this person even after they hurt me on multiple instances. The Bible says, pray for your enemies, and at times, that's how I saw them, so I did just that. I thought space was the answer. Once we started talking again, I knew they hadn't changed. It took me all of 2 hours to remind me why I walked away all the other times. They changed me as a person. I remember how many times they hurt me, countless times, and pushed me further from who I knew I was, and pushed me further from Jesus. I feel like I'm trying to be a good person, and all I do is get hurt time and time again. And I realize it's because I'm trying to control my life, and that isn't my job. Jesus has control over my life, and I was trying to be on top, but that just wasn't my place. Sunday night, 11 o'clock p.m., I had a panic attack, and I just couldn't believe it had gotten so bad I was back at this point again. I was in tears. I texted my friend, but she's asleep in my house, and so was everybody else. With tears streaming down my face, I managed to put on worship music, and I just sat in the dark on my bed. I probably cried for a solid 10 minutes. I was in tears, begging Jesus why. After I did so much to pull myself up from this hole, why was I here all over again? I felt this urge to pick up my Bible off my nightstand, and I just held it in my hand for a minute. I didn't know what to look for. I held it by the spine, and it fell open in my hands, to 1 Peter. I was quite confused. In my hard times of struggle, I was begging Jesus for help. What was this? The header caught my eyes. Praise to God for a living hope. One Peter. Praise to God. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Before I even read the rest, I knew this was Jesus speaking to me. He saw me struggling, and he was letting me know I am seen by him. 1:7-9. These who have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith and the salvation of your soul. This spoke to me because I grew up in church, went to plenty of Sunday school lessons to have learned who Jesus was. I believed in Jesus. I knew he was real. But I think I never had full belief that he was really there, because what has he ever done to help me in life? I've always said I believe in Jesus, but if he's real, why does he let me suffer so much? Why does he let the people I love suffer? 10-12. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke for the grace that was come to you searched inherently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you, when they spoke of the things that they have now been told by you, who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. I now know Jesus knows I've been struggling, and I believe he's always been there for me the whole time, even if I didn't know it. The whole time, I was worried because I was getting baptized, and I felt like I was not in a really good spot with Jesus right now. I felt like I neglected him. I've chosen my phone over my Bible. I've been so inconsistent about picking my Bible up and spending time with him. And I kept seeing these testimonies all over social media that people read before getting baptized, and I was like, I don't know what to say. I think Jesus has given me a lot of good things in my life, and I'm reading this now before I get baptized to let Jesus know I'm fully ready to let him be in charge. I am your child. You have not just 95% of my heart, you have 100% of my heart. You take charge of my life and continue forward with the plans you have for me. I know you already have it all planned out, and I trust you. I am your daughter, and I trust you with everything. I come today to share this because this was my encounter with Jesus that I've been waiting so desperately for. I hear people talk so highly of their encounters with Jesus Christ and how they feel he's speaking to them. This was mine. I can't even fully explain how good it feels to think I've been hurting this whole time and he's listened to me this whole time. Jesus hears me. Jesus is speaking to me. And most importantly, he's telling me everything's going to be okay. I finally feel like everything's going to be okay. Thank you.
Just real quick. You know, Ozzy, that story of where in the middle of the night you cry out to the Lord and you put on worship music and he spoke to you, you heard from him and he ministered to you. Like, that's such a powerful testimony, and it's just so real that that's available to all of us. And I want all of you guys to know, Les, your story too, where the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, calling you out. Ethan, what the Lord has called out in you and what he's put on your heart to do, like, it's such a powerful testimony for all of us that that verse says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's so powerful. It's what's happening. And so we just love it. I'm so proud of you guys for doing this and that we get to join you in the celebration, and we're going to go after it. So, Janet, if you want to strike up the keys and we will get rolling. We're going to go ahead and, Caleb, you can stay up here. Sorry, my mic's on, so we're going to be real. We're going to go Les first, and then we'll go Ethan, and then Caleb, you can come down with me, and then we'll go with Ozzy. And so I'll come down here. Yes, sir. Ooh. So last, you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, Savior of your life?
Absolutely.
Right. So with that confession, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, raised again with life. Go home! This is so much fun. All right, Ethan, and let's, if family, if anybody wants to take pictures, you want to pop up real quick and grab a, I said shots, and his sister's like, we're going to shoot him? I said, no, come on down. Enter and sit. Yeah. So Ethan, you acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of your life?
Of course.
Right. And with that, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ, risen again with him. In Jesus' name. Come on. It's all right. Wrap it around legs. It's wet. It's all right. It's carpet. It'll dry. Watch the bottom of the ramp there. There's tile. Have a slip and slide at the bottom. All right. Caleb, come on down here. Ozzy. Let's trade places. There we go. Go ahead and take a seat. As you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Yeah. That we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ. Go ahead. Risen again with him in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. So the water's warm. Anybody else feeling it? Yeah. I don't wanna leave a moment if somebody's feeling that urge. Yeah. So precious. This is one of the coolest things that we get to be a part of. We get to do it as family. I want to open that invitation up. If anybody is feeling like you want to get baptized, talk to me after the service. It'd be amazing if this was a regular happening and we made use of this thing that sits up here most of the year. Without getting used. Yeah. Just want to make that available for everyone. Oh, yeah. We do have food available. We're going to celebrate with a meal afterwards and fellowship. So we invite everybody that's here, if you guys want to stick around, feel free. And we will be over here, right? Yeah, just on this side over here. So yeah, hang out. Also, remember to use it as an opportunity to encourage these guys and share with each other and encourage one another. Like, yeah, I just love it. Baptism. Come on. All right. So I will close us out in prayer, and then Wayne has some closing announcements. Lord, we're just so grateful and honored that we get to partner with you in the work that you're doing, that we get to celebrate new life. Lord, will you God, continue to show us, Lord, what it means to have a new identity, to be a new creation in you. Yeah. That you would get in us everything that you paid for on the cross. Just commit this day and this week to you, God. And thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Thank you, everyone. Well, that was pretty amazing today, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right. So, last, Ethan, Ozzy, well done. I profess here before you that I know Jesus lives and he is our Savior, and you have been baptism, you have been reborn in the life of Jesus. May his light always shine upon you and within you, and may that light disperse into the world, that you will have influence in your spheres that will direct people to our Lord and Savior. But more importantly, may that light always burn within you, regardless of the hardships, the thorns, the pricks that might come up in this world that will try to crush your faith, to distract you from that walk in Christ. Don't let it happen. Follow the Spirit. Let it guide you. Let it impersonate you, that you might be like Jesus. And I pray that for all of us. May we all be like Jesus in the walk that he has in our lives and the commission that he has given us. So with that, let's have the prayer team come forward. If you would like to celebrate life in prayer.